This is Jay Sekulow. Has the Republican Party unified behind Donald Trump?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And it's my honor to be able to throw Donald Trump over the top in the delegate count tonight with 89 delegates.
My generation, this is the most important election of our lifetime, one that will determine the future of our country and, in turn, the future of the world. For too long, our country has ignored its problems, punting them down the road for future generations to deal with. In business, I was trained by my father to make the tough investments and decisions today to ensure a brighter future tomorrow.
My father is good with advice, as you might guess. But he keeps it short, and the takeaway is usually the same. To help us find our own way and our own gifts. If you do what you love, hold nothing back, and never let fear of failure get in the way, then you pretty much figured out the Trump formula.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We are committed to a federal government that acts again as a servant, accountable to the people, following the Constitution, and venturing not one inch beyond the consent of the governed. The next time that there's a State of the Union address, I don't know where Joe Biden or Barack Obama are going to be, but you'll find me right there on the rostrum with Vice President Mike Pence and President Donald Trump.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the question is the Republican Party unifying behind the now nominee for the presidency of the United States for the Republican Party, Donald Trump? We'll take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about that. Also, let me tell you this. The United States Department of Justice has moved the Supreme Court of the United States to rehear the executive action on immigration case that we won just a month ago. We'll have more on that on tomorrow's broadcast. But the news today is, has the Republican Party unified behind Donald Trump? Let's get kind of opinion. Want your opinion, by the way, on Facebook and Periscope. Also, if you want to talk to us on air about it, 1-800-684-3110. And we'll talk about what we saw in day two and what we're looking for in day three. Jordan, where do you see it right now?
Well, listen, I think last night the big story out of last night was Donald Trump Jr. giving, I think, a heartfelt, great message about his father. In my opinion, he should have closed out the night in prime time. I mean, in a sense, it did, because it was getting late in the evening. That was the speech that I think was where we heard more about Donald Trump, the man, the father, the personal relationships that only someone like a son, his oldest son, could communicate, and talking about being on the job sites and hanging out with the workers and not just the executives. And so how were they, and we, you know, people do speculate this, how do his kids turn out so well being the children of Donald Trump? And I think we learned that last night, that he instilled in them that you hang out with the guys that are hanging the drywall, pouring the concrete, not just the guys in the suits in the executive offices. That was strong. Chris Christie's speech, strong, maybe misplaced to me. I think that would have been a good opening night speech.
The
kind of prosecution.
It was under the jobs day, you know, getting back to working, but it was really more
Keep America Safe prosecution of Hillary Clinton. But again, the big night tonight, Ted Cruz, and then Mike Pence, of course, his major introduction. The biggest speech of his life.
Yeah, absolutely. Logan, what are we seeing online already? What kind of comments? And we're going to take your calls, folks, as well.
Mixed. I think a lot of people are saying that this gave some hope that for unification, they need to be unified clearly. But then there's, I have to say, a lot of detractors today are seeing a lot of people saying, feels like Republican Party's dead. We got that in a comment. Feels like I'm voting for Hillary now. So I'm not so sure. These are comments that are coming in right now. These are not the usual comments that come in. No, they are not unified. Both presidential candidates are not the choices I would have picked.
All right.
So where you feel that way, it seems to not be going that way.
Yeah, let's talk about this on air, folks. We'll take your calls on this. We want to know where you stand on this. This is the day we're going to find out where you stand after day two of the convention. Unified, not unified, satisfied, not satisfied? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Also, let me say this. I've got an email out right now. We've got an urgent situation in Kenya. Our lawyers have been successful in getting young women released, human rights cases, getting released from slavery, from these forced marriages. But now the lawyers' lives are in jeopardy and their security's at risk. Go to ACLJ.org. There's more information there. And I've got an email going out on it today at ACLJ.org. And don't forget our matching challenge as well. We appreciate your help there. We'll take your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So the question is, after day three, is the Republican Party unified behind Donald Trump? And here's the real question. We're getting a real mixed response. Again, let me get Logan to update us on Facebook and Periscope, folks. We're getting a mixed response. It's interesting here after day two.
Yeah, I would say, the title is, of the show today mentions that, is the Republican Party unified? So a lot of people are saying no. I think that you're hearing that a lot, an overwhelming majority of people saying no. Now, there is some comeback now. But look, look at the call we have right up on here online too. We can take that in just a second here. But that shows where I feel like a lot of people are doing.
So you got it. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
All right.
The convention showed that.
But then one person just said, Greg said, we have to unify or die. It's now or never.
All right. Let me do this. Let me play Paul Ryan's comment, because this is the one where he kind of sets up that his unification. And Jordan brings up an interesting point. I'm going to get Jordan on that, and then we'll take some calls about how important, even though the main speaker tonight is Mike Pence, all eyes will be on Ted Cruz as well. Yeah. But let's play. Here's what Paul Ryan said about party unity.
What do you say that we unify this party at this crucial moment when unity is everything? Let's take our fight to our opponents with better ideas. Let's get on the offensive and let's stay there. Let's compete in every part of America and turn out of the polls like every last vote matters, because it will.
All right, so that was Paul Ryan's unity pitch. Now, the question is, and Jordan talked about this during the break, so Facebook, Periscope, and on the website, you saw this, but I want a radio audience to be involved in this. The real, obviously, big night for Mike Pence. He's got to make a speech.
This is his introduction to America.
But the Ted Cruz speech is the one you're saying could even be more critical.
Ted Cruz finished number two in the primary, hard fought at the end with Donald Trump, very hard fought. In fact, it was the Cruz people who kind of caused a ruckus the first night afternoon of the convention. Now, Ted Cruz had no part in that. He's met with Donald Trump. Remember, early on in the campaign, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz were extremely friendly, appearing at Tea Party Patriots rallies in Washington, D.C. together, Stand for Israel events.
You were there.
Together. So, yeah. I mean, they were very friendly in the early stages of this campaign, and
but
that soured quickly when Ted Cruz took Iowa, and it became a real race between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. Now, the big question, they have met since then, and though a lot of Ted Cruz supporters have not yet come on board with Donald Trump, Ted Cruz has got this major speaking role tonight. He, I think, can deliver the message that unifies not necessarily everyone, but the Christian conservative grassroots base that Paul Ryan was referring to as well, that Mike Pence was brought on the ticket to bring in to the tent as well. So when you have two speakers tonight taking prime time, Ted Cruz and Mike Pence, delivery style different, but actual policies almost exactly the same, identical. And so I think that's the biggest night. Tonight is the biggest night for the unity, because then ultimately it's all about Donald Trump the next night.
Yeah. So let me do this. We were having a little bit of a technical thing. Let's see if it's working. Fan, how do you see it right now? Then we got a lot of calls coming in here. Logan needs to get to. So, but Fan, where do you see it right now?
I think Jordan laid it out well. Listen, Ted Cruz's speech tonight is going to come after Scott Walker's and Marco Rubio's, and I think it's pretty clear you're going to hear from the two of them exactly what you heard from Paul Ryan, a call for unification, an indication that at least the party apparatus is now behind Donald Trump, at least, somewhat hesitantly, but they are there. Ted Cruz is the wild card. Let's face it. He has been asked whether or not he is going to endorse Donald Trump tonight. He has not said whether he will or not. I think there's no question that he has his eyes on 2020, but will he do that in a way that focuses mainly on him or mainly in unifying behind Donald Trump? I think that it is very much remains to be seen. And honestly, Jay, I think that's why Eric Trump is following him. In case he doesn't do that, Donald Trump wants Eric Trump to follow Ted Cruz's speech.
Could well be. We got a lot of very interesting calls here. Let's go right to it, Logan.
All right, let's go to Jonathan on line two.
Hey, Jonathan.
Louisiana.
Hello, Jay. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm disappointed with the process, and I intend to leave the Republican Party later today, officially. However, I'm pleased and encouraged that Ted Cruz may be able to influence events.
So, Jonathan, who did you support in this election cycle, and have they endorsed? And maybe it is Ted Cruz that you're talking about, but if Ted Cruz were to, let's say you supported him, if he gives a strong endorsement of Donald Trump tonight, which we don't know will happen, but it could, he's giving a major primetime speech of the third night of the convention, could that change your mind about not voting Trump?
I don't know if it would change my mind about voting Trump. I've been a Ted Cruz supporter since he ran for the Senate in Texas.
Yep.
I supported him all the way through, and even before he announced for the campaign, I knew that I was going to support Ted Cruz. I'd read his book.
What I hear is that it could, depending on how strong the endorsement Ted Cruz is, and it might not be very. It could be an endorsement that's pretty.
Here's what tepid. I think. Here's what I think that I would not be surprised to hear this tonight. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's going to say I endorse, and that's why I endorse Donald Trump for presidency of the United States. I could hear this though, and we'll see if this is enough. He could say this. We must defeat Hillary Clinton. And is that enough to be constant endorsement? Go ahead, Logan.
Those are the comments that are coming in a lot right now from Deborah. She just said Ted Cruz has the ability to unify the party tonight. Dawn says, yes, Ted Cruz can help when no one else can. Trina said Ted Cruz has a responsibility to unify the party. Why? And then Cheryl said, why are they even letting Ted Cruz speak?
Yeah.
Well, because he came in number two.
Right.
And so he's a significant amount of delegates there that are Ted Cruz supporters. They're going to go raucous for him. I don't think if he goes as tepid as you're talking about, Dad, I don't think that that's going to be the unifying voice. It may be enough for Ted Cruz to survive the Trump train and the Trump supporters and get through this election cycle. But if he gives a real heartfelt endorsement, he does the formal kind of endorsement, then I think, like the caller said, that may change minds.
Yeah.
So this is a key moment, not so much for Ted Cruz, but for the Trump campaign. If they can get him to go all the way in endorsement, that could do a lot of good in people who are thinking that they may not, who are Cruz supporters who are not yet comfortable with Trump.
Pat just responded, and this is from Facebook. A lot of people have asked that, including Trump himself. What happened to the pledge that they all had to sign?
Well, this is interesting because the pledge, of course, was to make sure Donald Trump would back the nominee, and now you've got a number of candidates that were running that have not backed the nominee.
Including
John Kasich, who's not even showing up the convention. Fan, from your perspective in Washington, I mean, I know a lot of them are gone right now, but you're talking to staff. What are you hearing? What's the sense, and what kind of endorsement or quasi-endorsement do you expect tonight? Then we'll grab another call here.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Ted Cruz is speaking tonight because Donald Trump can't win in November without the support that the Ted Cruz followers would bring to him. So I think that's why he's on the stage. Here's my prediction for tonight. I think you will see something similar to what Paul Ryan gave last night, just with more energy. Paul Ryan was typical Paul Ryan, not that entertaining, not that engaging. Ted Cruz will be very passionate. I think he will spend most of his speech laying out his vision for the future. And, Jay, I would guess in the closing minutes of his speech, and I think most in Washington expect this as well, he will say something like you said, we cannot achieve this vision if Hillary Clinton is our president, therefore I will be voting for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. I think you will hear those words tonight.
That's interesting to me following conventions. Usually you don't want to focus on the negatives. You want to keep moving on each day. Donald Trump has just tweeted about 20 minutes ago a tweet, which, I mean, I think is a pretty good tweet if he had tweeted it on Monday. He said, the media is spending more time doing a forensic analysis of Melania's speech than the FBI spent on Hillary's emails.
To me, that
shows that this is stuck in his mind, stuck in Melania's mind. It's not a bad tweet on Monday.
Yeah, but
because
not, but
it makes sense. And the news cycle has started to move on.
And it now gives the news cycle, just like we did here, we see, oh, well, Donald Trump is the presumptive.
Yep.
He is the Republican nominee, no longer the presumptive. And he, now he's commenting on it.
That's not good.
So he could only hold his tongue for a couple days. What I see is a distracted Donald Trump, which is not good going into just about 20, a little more than 24 hours before. And he may be making another appearance tonight introducing Mike Pence.
Yeah. This is, I think that tweet is a mistake. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, lots of calls coming in, and let's go to Rudy, who's calling from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Rudy.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, I think the Republican Party will come together and unify behind Donald Trump.
I'm sorry.
I believe, I predict tonight that Ted Cruz will, in fact, endorse Donald Trump because the Republican Party knows that they have to come together as a whole.
I mean, I think I would expect some type of endorsement to be the level of it.
Yeah, and remember, back in 2012, the party did not come together. They did not unify. Yes, it's clear that you have to unify to win. You've got to have your social conservatives, your economic conservatives, your national security conservatives, and then bring in a sizable amount of independent voters across the country who are not necessarily aligned with either the Republican or Democrat Party.
Yep.
That did not happen in 2012. And 2012 was a much smoother style convention
than this.
I mean, you had people like Mitt Romney, well-qualified. People like Paul Ryan, well-qualified, well-liked. They were not able to unify. So this is key for the grassroots is can people like Ted Cruz and Mike Pence really do the work that Donald Trump's incapable of doing himself, which is these grassroots conservatives who lead the party's efforts to get out the vote, coming on board?
Yep. Is there any chance that Ted Cruz does something that not going to thrill Donald
Ted
Trump
Cruz.
Tonight?
Ted Cruz is a strong personality.
I don't think he's going to – if he goes into an audience of 18,000 people that have endorsed Donald Trump for president of the United States, he's not going to start a situation.
I think the worst he could do for Donald Trump is like not talk about Donald Trump at all.
That would not
ignore Trump and talk about Hillary and maybe some things are bad.
All right. Let me tell you this, folks. We've got an email that I've sent out today, and we need you to be responsive to it. It's very important. You know about the real – abuses taking against Christians around the globe, but especially in Kenya, where the Christians have been abducted and brutally murdered, these Islamic groups taking these young girls, forced marriages. We, our legal team in Kenya, we have an office in Nairobi, has engaged this aggressively, and we've actually won in court multiple times on these cases. But now our lawyers are being threatened, aggressively being threatened, and we need your help for their protection. So I'm encouraging you to respond to our matching challenge campaign. We want to get additional security funds. That's what it's for, folks, to be blunt, down to our office in Kenya. And Jordan will talk a little bit more of that during the break here because this is important for people to understand. But go to ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge campaign. But if everybody that's listening right now around the country will make a $10 contribution, make a huge difference. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
All right, up tonight, Cruz, Rubio, Eric Trellis. Cruz is evidently, Rubio is giving a video speech. That'll be interesting to see what happens there. Ted Cruz, the question will be, will there be an endorsement? He's a busy guy trying to run for re-election now in Florida. We'll see what happens. Let me play a little bit. I'm not going to play the whole bite. This is Don Jr. Go ahead.
We're still Americans. We're still one country. And we're going to get it all back. We're going to get it back better than ever before. I know we'll get it back because I know my father. I know that when people tell him it can't be done, that guarantees that he gets it done. I know that when someone tells him that something is impossible, that's what triggers him into action.
Yeah, I thought he gave a very good speech, by the way. My concern with the entire 3 days so far is, I think, no substance. Yeah. And hopefully tonight we're going to see. Let me get Dan in here quickly. I think there's a substance miss, then we're going to get to these calls. But there's a little bit of a substance miss here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Speaker Gingrich will bring some substance tonight. You know, I actually thought that the mistake that Governor Christie made last night, Jay, I thought it was an open audition for the attorney general spot. I didn't think it probably belonged in prime time. So all of those people that were tuning in to get policy to see what the party was about, instead they got a job audition from the governor. I thought it was a mistake.
Let me give you some platform significance here. And we're going to do the same thing on the Democratic side by Jeff Balaban. Here is a senior counsel with the ACLJ and government affairs and has been working on the Israel issue. And we don't care Republican, Democrat, Independent. We want protection for Israel. He's calling from Cleveland right now. Jeff, give us the update on what is the now final Republican platform. Where did it go start and where did it end up?
Well, how you doing, Jay? Good. The Republican platform has made a major advance, in our opinion. For example, it didn't call for an undivided Jerusalem through a very strange quirk in 2012, but now it calls for an indivisible Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state, calls for the American embassy to be moved there, and makes advances over every previous platform in recent memory by declaring flat out, quote, "We reject the false notion that Israel is an occupier and specifically recognize that the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, BDS, is anti-Semitic in nature and seeks to destroy Israel." The other really big advance is it no longer insists on what's called the two-state solution. It no longer demands a Palestinian state. Instead, it leaves it up entirely to the Israeli people, to Israel's democracy, to pursue what it believes is in its best interest, and America will support it.
So this is, again, we're going to give you substance of what, because this is not being discussed. And Jordan, as I look at the changes here that Jeff just mentioned, these are significant. And we're going to do the same thing on the Democratic side too, folks. We're going to give you the analysis of where their party was. And there was a fight at the Democratic side. We don't have the final platform yet, so I don't want to get into it. But Jeff has done a lot of work, like I said, bipartisan, in getting the Israel agenda put forward for us.
Yeah, that's right. And the importance of these platforms is not that every Republican running and candidate sticks by them, but it's the general idea of what the party itself stands for when it comes down to very key issues, both domestically and, as Jeff's talking about now, foreign policy specific to Israel, but on other issues around the world. And so for this, I think what we have to understand is it kind of sets the tone for who is a Republican and what does a Republican believe? And if you're outside the Republican Party or you're someone that's thinking about becoming a candidate down the road, you look at platforms. You look at, do I match up enough with this to claim to be a Republican? Yeah. Am I 90% of the way there? Then that means you're probably a Republican. It's not 100%, but about 90%. And I think the stronger language on Israel reflects the kind of changes that have happened and also how bad the administration's been.
All right. So, Jeff, let me get your sense here because there's other issues related to this is the terrorism issue. I've seen that in the platform. What kind of vibe are you picking up there in Cleveland right now generally?
Generally about the Israel issue or overall about...
Overall. I mean, one of the questions we've raised is, and there are people concerned about it, that there seems to not be the lack of unity seems to be pretty palpable.
You know, there's a real sea change, and it is interesting. Maybe it's a lack of unity. Maybe what's really happening is that there's a lot of new blood that I don't think, and I'm not just talking about individuals, but whole sectors that we haven't seen before come to conventions. On the other hand, there are sectors that traditionally have had a very strong representation that have chosen not to show up. So either the party center is shifting, or it's just fractious. It's really hard to tell just from one man's perspective sitting here, but I see a lot of new blood, as much as I see more familiar faces not present.
Yeah, but let's to just finish it up here. On the issue of Israel, we are very pleased with the result of the final platform here. It came a long way and with a lot of work, but it came a long way.
It really did, and to highlight the point that Jordan was making, it's not just about the law. This really seems to represent, this is totally nonpartisan what we're doing here. We think this is really where America's heart is. It certainly reflects where the Republican Party is, and that is a unifying factor for the Republicans.
Yeah, we'll see what the Democrats do. There was a lot of contention on that issue, on the BDS issue, so we'll see. Thanks, Jess, for the report. Logan, do we have time for another call here?
Yeah, let's take a call. Let's go to Marty, who's calling from California.
Hi, Marty.
Marty, you on the air? Nope. Marty, now you're on
the
air.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're on the air now. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I just want to know, does John Kasich, is that going to hurt the taking of Ohio in the election?
Let me say this. You know, here's the thing. John Kasich did not welcome the Republican National Convention to Ohio, which I think fundamentally is an error. If you were mad, if you were angry at the nominee, you are the governor of the state of Ohio and you don't show up. Is not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think he had to go and endorse Donald Trump.
No.
I think he just welcome had to go and welcome everybody.
The Democratic mayor of
Cleveland was there. Could have done something similar. Doesn't have to be as involved. Doesn't have to give a keynote address. But there wouldn't be the stories about John Kasich not being there. Because should he decide in a month from now, after learning more about Hillary Clinton, that, we do not want Hillary Clinton to be president, a lot of people are going to say, where were you when the convention was in your own state?
Yeah.
And so, again, I think he could have been there without some major endorsement. And by the way, he was the one floating himself as a potential Trump VP. So he wasn't like some major anti-Trump
guy. No, he's acting like an angry child. Then, I mean, I know we have
like the John Kasich that people came to know during the campaign.
Yeah, yeah. Than, what's your sense?
I think Governor Kasich is hurting himself with this decision. I would just remind people, the runners-up and the next runner-up, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, they are both there. They are both speaking tonight. John Kasich finished fourth, and he's not going to be there. I think it looks a little bit selfish. I would say this. Donald Trump has to win Ohio to win in November, but I think Governor Kasich's decision was really more reflective on him than it is Donald Trump.
Yeah, I agree.
And Donald Trump said, I wouldn't have shown up either if I got beat so bad. So,
which is a Donald Trump kind of answer.
Yeah, which is true. That's what it makes him seem like. Seems
but,
like.
You know, I don't think Donald Trump wants to have to be making these kind of statements.
No, he doesn't want to talk about John Kasich.
Yeah. He'd much rather just have John Kasich
show
there,
up,
not have a story about it. Don't even need to endorse me. Welcome all these Republicans to your state.
But then why? I mean, we're running out of time here.
Just said he's a crybaby. Lost my respect.
Who? John Kasich? Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought he should have. When he was getting beat, he was like hanging on for one thing.
He was that guy hanging on and didn't even get to 5%.
Here's the question, though. I mean, this is the question which I asked the Trump campaign, and this is just we're closing the segment out, so we'll be here for another 30 minutes. Logan will tell you how you can get it. But here's the question I want everybody thinking about: how did that situation with Melania happen in a campaign? We'll talk about that after the break. That's number one. And number two, why would you tweet out, as Jordan said, 2 days later, effectively, and bring it back into the news when it was moved on and everybody was talking about Don Jr.'s speech? To me, fundamental errors, lack of campaign organization. You could brag about the fact that you got 70 people on staff, but maybe if you were fully staffed, this wouldn't have happened. So we have time to talk about it. Well, we'll talk about it after the break. Let's talk about it after the break. All right, Logan, let everybody know how they can stay with us, because a lot of people are going to lose us right now.
If you lose us, if you don't get the full hour of JSIQ Live on your network that you're listening to, make sure you join us over on ACLJ.org or on Facebook or Periscope, broadcasting live video as well in the studio, HD multicam television style video. You can hear studio audio and talk to us during the breaks. Again, that's at Facebook.com/JSIQLO, Periscope search for JSIQLO or ACLJ.org.
And I am going to be, you'll be receiving today a very urgent email from me about our office in Kenya needing your help. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Let's help them out down there, ACLJ.org.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
back to the broadcast. I mean, we're talking about, is the Republican Party unified behind Donald Trump? And we're getting a lot of mixed reaction to it right now, whether there is, in fact, unity. There was a call for unity by, of course, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. Don Jr. Gave a call for unity. But there's also been, as Logan, if you've been saying, on Facebook and Periscope, and in comments we're even getting on with our callers from radio around the country, it seems to be a little bit mixed. That's where Ted Cruz...
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, finish.
It's much more hostile than I was expecting this morning. It is rough. It is not... These are not people that are thrilled that everything's going to be coming together. This is... You have your Cruz supporters that are almost upset with Cruz for being there and for potentially endorsing.
So we don't know what he's going to say.
You don't know what he's going to say. You have the other side of the people that are saying, we're not unified. Multiple people said they left the Republican Party today. Five or six people.
So why is that? Let's talk about that. Because why is that?
Well, I think they're showing the Republican Party... This Republican Party, so the Trump Republican Party, has shown this inability to kind of finish the job each time they attempt it, which is bizarre for Donald Trump. And I point back to this. About an hour ago, Donald Trump starts weighing in on the Melania controversy, which is long gone at this point. I mean,
except now we're talking about
it's still in the news, but it's the third story.
But you've got other speakers happen. Chris Christie, you got Mike Pence tonight. This was going away. By the time Donald Trump took the stage tomorrow, there would be no one talking about it. Instead, he tweets two tweets. One, good news is Melania's speech got more publicity than in the history of politics, especially if you believe that all press is good press. That all press is not good press when it comes to politics. National politics. You already get enough press. So the negative side is bad, especially when it's universally bad. It's not partisan bad. It's just, ooh, how did that mistake happen, which I'll explain in a second. And then he said again in a second tweet, the media is spending more time doing a forensic analysis of Melania's speech than the FBI spent on Hillary's emails. Ha ha, if that happened on Monday.
Yeah.
If that was his comment on Monday, if it was that witty and that quick, but I like that because then all the news on that Tuesday morning would have had to read those tweets. But today, now we're all going back to Melania.
But this is interesting because the Chris Christie speech, which I thought was a very interesting speech, the way he did it, was very much the prosecutor. Does it get you independence? I don't know. Does it rally up the people in the audience? Yeah, but does it hurt you on TV? Maybe. But you know what? He could have gotten away with that Monday night. I'm not sure you get away with that Tuesday night, and this seems to be, and we're just being given you real analysis, folks. It seems to be miscues.
Yeah, and we're learning now why Donald Trump came out and said, and Paul Manafort, that no one would be fired. Here's why. Two major, I know these guys, Washington speechwriters, they write for major presidential candidates, including President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush, and I believe it's even for Jeb Bush during this campaign. So Don Trump Jr. brought them in to write this speech for Melania. Matthew Scully and John McConnell. They are very respected. They would never put words like this. They'd go through all the checks. They worked with Paul Ryan during the Romney-Ryan campaign. Right. So they're respected across the board. To take people's ideas and put them into words that they can deliver in a speech. They said they delivered a speech, heard nothing back for weeks, and knew nothing about what was going to be said that night until they saw it. And only one line was the same, the opening line about how this has been a very different election. Everything else changed, and we hear now that it was – potentially Melania working with a friend who's done some ghostwriting for Donald Trump that went back. So they didn't
say,
hey, John and Matt, I don't love this first draft. Let's work on it more together. Right. They just were kind of brought in, probably paid a hefty sum to draft this.
We got breaking news on this. CNN is now reporting that Meredith McCleaver, who is the friend that offered a resignation, Donald Trump refused.
That's what I'm talking about.
Then how do you quickly here, as we get ready to break, I mean, we're giving analysis of what we think's going right and what's going wrong. We're very happy with the Israel situation. I'm not so happy about the way the thing's going down. What's your sense?
Well, I think the question here is, what story did it bump out of the news? And I think the story this morning would have been a very good speech by his son, Don Jr., had they not returned to this issue. I still think he should have accepted that friend's resignation. He didn't, but the bigger story is, we're talking about this instead of a positive story. He should have let the cycle continue on that.
To me, it just says that he spent the last 48 hours figuring this out when it should have been done in 2 minutes. That friend should have been had to resign or whatever position they even had, if it was paid or unpaid.
Just be done with it.
And they should have put the blame on her. Yep. And instead of having the speechwriters have to come out and say, well, it wasn't us, and it's too long.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say too. It's just too long. It's too odd of a story to let just leave there hanging.
And now it's back in the news. I mean, this is not the way you do it. All right, folks, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 800-684-3110.
Thank you.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented, and here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast. I've got my glasses off, putting them back on, because we're reading something that has just come out that we're trying to see if it's, it can, I mean, Logan's response was, can this possibly be real? Apparently it is. This is from the Trump Organization, and it's signed by Meredith McIver, who evidently was the primary, ended up becoming the primary speechwriter here.
Yeah.
And it basically blames herself and Melania for the speech era.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
this is not, I mean, I can't believe this is, folks, CNN and MSNBC, who else is reporting on this? Well, let's find out. We're going to.
A lot of the normal political organizations.
Yeah, so everybody's reporting on it. So this is, Donald Trump has successfully, in a ridiculous way, brought the Melania speech back into the forefront, which I think personally, and I know some people will be angry with me on Facebook for saying this, is a big era.
Right.
And when you read this letter, you realize what a big era it is.
And, you know, credit for Donald Trump Jr., who brought in the heavyweight GOP writers.
Yep.
He brought in the Matthew Scully and John
yep.
McConnell, who are just well-known. I mean, if they write speeches for people like Mitt Romney, Paul
Look
Ryan. And yet, what happens, they hear nothing back from their first drafts. They get paid, probably, and they hear nothing back. They said they didn't even know what was going to be said until they turned it on last night. So Melania didn't really like that, and it's not that unusual with a first draft. You just,
yep.
You're supposed to work with the guys who are writing it with you.
Okay, here's the letter.
Instead, she turns to Meredith McIver.
And this is on Trump Organization. Let me hold this up for our Facebook
I'll
and Periscope audience.
You're holding it.
This is it. Maybe we can get a still of it, too.
She is, as in her own words, an in-house staff writer at the Trump Organization. So like kind of like a copywriter and a longtime friend and admirer of the Trump family. In working with Melania on her recent First Lady speech, we discussed many people who inspired her and messages she wanted to share with the American people. A person she's always liked is Michelle Obama. Over the phone, she read me, Melania read me some passages from Miss Obama's speech as examples. I wrote them down and later included some of the phrasing in the draft that ultimately became the final speech. I did not check Miss Obama's speeches. This was my mistake. I feel terrible for the chaos I have caused, Melania and the Trumps, as well as to Miss Obama. No harm was meant. She offered her resignation to Mr. Trump and the Trump family, but they rejected it, calling it an innocent mistake. That's when the judgment issue comes into play here
yep.
with maybe too loyal, because this is not an innocent mistake when you're playing at this level. You know, this is not business anymore. This is running for commander-in-chief. There are no innocent mistakes. They are just mistakes.
Okay, so here...
Social media doesn't care for you right now.
Yeah, so the social media's man at Jordan, but we're just giving you the facts, folks.
I'm fine.
Okay.
You guys are.
Well,
I'm going to tell you
how you handle it, okay? Because you want to be angry, but let me give you facts, because we need facts here. This is important to understand. We need facts. Here's how you handle this. There was a mistake in the speech. We all know it.
Moving
it was
on.
It was word for word. If you went on to say that Monday night and say, you know what? She made an innocent mistake. It was nothing intentional. She was inspired by this. It was a mistake.
Make a joke about the FBI then.
Yeah, fine. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is doing emails that she's erasing and putting our national security at risk. So if I was looking at the scope of who's created a bigger problem, Melania picking up a paragraph from Michelle Obama's good speech and including it, rather than versus Hillary Clinton and the email scandal, I don't think it's close to move on. But they're not, and that is the problem.
That's the
and
issue.
Now all of the media, and even we have to. Folks, you may be mad at us, but let me just tell you the truth.
We didn't want to
be
talking about this.
We can't not cover it. You want real legal analysis from us and political analysis. We're giving it to you. This is called a mistake. Don't do things like this. Let's take some calls.
Yeah, and some people are commenting since his wife, you know, he had to stick up for her.
But why
2 days later?
Yeah.
I mean, 2 days later, why do we have this continued ridiculous narrative about a story that was finally going away, which we thought should be going away? Melania gave a good speech. It wasn't her fault. It was the speechwriter's fault. Now we know who that person is.
Well, let me say
moving on. I mean, moving on. It shouldn't be focused. Stop.
Here's what I was hoping
because honestly,
gonna
it's
say.
Putting his wife in more pain.
For
more
no reason,
I would think. Yeah. Because he's trying to tweet about it and now putting out these
statements.
Someone
just said, here's how you handle it. Drop it.
That's exactly right. And here's the situation, folks. I gave you a title today, is the Republican Party unified? And we wanted to really know your thoughts on this. And we were thinking that after the last couple of speeches last night, it was unified. Or, you know, with Paul Ryan making his speech, a little more unified. Evidently, that's not. And we're showing up on our screen of Facebook and Periscope. So you're not mad at me and Jordan. And you know, no one's mad at Logan.
How could you?
Yeah, but there it is. Let me get Than in here, and then we'll take another call. Than, you've done campaigns. I mean, we're saying this, folks, because these are mistakes that are unnecessary. These are errors that you self-create. Move on.
Listen, Jay, a staffer has one job, is to advance the agenda of the candidate. Yep. I have been that person before. This should have been dealt with on Monday. It's why I said on Monday. It's why you said on Monday. The resignation should have been offered and accepted. Had it been dealt with on Monday, we wouldn't even be talking about it today. They brought it back up. But again, in the moment, Jay, a decision maker has to make that thing. The staffer has to fall on her sword. It looks like she tried. Donald Trump should have accepted it on Monday.
Yep. All right. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go ahead. A lot of people hold it for a long time. Carl is calling from Toledo, Ohio. You're on the air, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Carl, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
All right.
I'll be as brief as I can concerning Mr. Trump.
Okay, go ahead.
I will indeed be voting for the man. However, he's cutting his nose off to spite his face. Hillary Clinton is running that clip several times a day and throughout the night, too. The part where Mr. Trump was making some disparaging remarks and arm gestures concerning that handicapped person.
Yep.
Doesn't he realize that this is hurting his campaign?
Well,
Hillary's.
That has been a very effective ad for the Clinton campaign, no doubt.
To me, bipartisan, one of the more.
You just talk about the ads.
One of the more impressive political ads I've ever seen is just that ad of children watching all of those clips, because it does put into question going, is this the person you want to be president just because of some of these talking points? Like,
There'll be plenty of negative.
Even if you like what he's saying, you do kind of start looking it through the eyes of a kid and go, yeah, that could be seen. But in general, you're right. But he has been the no apology guy.
I think that's what he's doing. I think
never
that's his strategy.
Never asked for forgiveness.
His tone is fine. You can run that ad. That's why people like me. But we have to look at independent voters. And also the fact that we're hearing from conservative voters, like the last caller, who are kind of struggling. I'll be casting my vote. But, that feeling of like – and that's the sense I'm getting from that Republican National Convention right now. You got plenty of Trump supporters there because he got the most delegates. But there are plenty of people there who are just kind of like, and they're waiting. Maybe tonight is the night. Mike Pence and
Ted Cruz have a big job.
A lot of work to do. Ted Cruz doesn't have to do it, but he could. And that could, and then Mike Pence, this is his job, is to get this done.
Yeah. All right. Let's go take another call.
All right. Let's go to Patty in Philadelphia. You're on the air.
Hey, Patty.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
I'm calling to answer your question of the day.
Yes.
No, the Republican Party did not stand behind Donald Trump because the Republican politicians know that there will not be no more backroom dirty dealings like the Republican politicians are used to. Kasich was bought off. He was bought off by the Hillary Clinton campaign also.
Well, I don't think that's fair to say Kasich was bought off by the campaign. I think John Kasich is acting a little bit like a spoiled loser is what I sense that is. But look, I mean, I do think that where you're right is I don't think it's politics as normal anymore or as usual. And I think that is part of the reaction.
Yeah. Maybe. And see, that's the question, Patty, is it may be not politics as usual anymore, because that all comes down to, one, whether Donald Trump wins or not. And it could be that politics remains pretty much normal, especially under the Clinton machine, which would be that kind of typical Washington, D.C. So we just don't know. And I think that's why there is a lack of enthusiasm, is they don't necessarily want Donald Trump to win. They're never going to tell you that, because of the changes that it would bring to Washington. Absolutely. There would be a lot of people that would not be making as much money. It's the most expensive city in the United States to live, that would not be making as much money if Donald Trump makes the changes he says he will. I mean, at least based off his rhetoric.
Yeah, this came in from Robert. He said, it feels like they're trying to throw the election. I don't know how these things can happen. And look, that does cross your mind, because these things keep happening. But truth be told, Robert, every time I thought that, it backfires in the other direction. It goes towards him, and it boosters him more.
So far, Donald Trump has never been hurt by anything.
Right.
So, the question is, as much as we think things are bad, are they really, or is he right that the drama of having Melania in the focus, maybe that's just part of who he is and how he wins?
Well, I'm going to try to grab another call here, even though we only got 2 minutes left for this segment.
Let's go to Mike in Wells.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Jay. Yes, sir. Logan and everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoyed last night. I thought it was great that he had his son and daughter up there speaking, and it was nice to hear, from family what the man was just like, and not depending on sound bites and misconceptions, and actually get to know his character. And I got more interested in voting for him through listening to that. And I also liked what Ben Carson had to say. He gave a good warning about the spiritual condition of our country.
I love Ben and Carson. We're very close with his family, and I thought he gave a very, very effective speech. And I thought he was, Ben is not politically correct, and he speaks his mind, he speaks his heart, and he did. All right, we're taking a break. Then we're going to try to get through all these calls. And folks, don't be mad with us when we're trying to give you the legal and political analysis of what's really happening. What do you want me to tell you? It's great that Fox has just broken in and said Trump Organization speechwriter who helped rely
and CNN, right,
and CNN
on day three
to resign on the 3 days later. Let me tell you what that's called. Not good politics. All right. And I'm not talking about being politically correct. I'm just talking about organizationally. They need to tighten up. We'll be doing the same thing to the Democrats, too. Believe me, I'm going to tell
They're
you, we're going to give it straight.
Like,
no, they won't. That's the difference, because this is where you got to have more than 70 people. Logan's looking at the phone now that we said that. All right. We're going to take calls when we come back. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. And, Logan, multiple ways for people to engage, and keep the comments coming.
That's right. Phone lines are busy right now, but some will open up. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join the rowdy bunch right now over on Facebook and Periscope. Be a part of that conversation. Facebook.com/JaySekulow, or search for the Jay Sekulow page on Periscope. You'll find us there broadcasting live right now to get your comments in. Always fun day over on social media.
We've got a video, right?
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200.
Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right to him.
All right, lots of calls coming in. Hey, one line open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Phil in Alabama. You're on the air.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir.
Yes. Thank you for taking my comment. I was just going to go and comment on the fact that right now the Republican Party needs to go and get behind Donald Trump, either that or Hillary and
I get what he's saying. Hillary would be a disaster.
And
that would be true. I mean, I tend to agree that if the Republican Party wants to win in November, they do need to unify and get behind Donald Trump. The question is, has Trump's team done a good enough job of unifying? They've had plenty of time to put the unity message together. I mean, yes, it's kind of cool that we're not sure exactly what Ted Cruz will say. Maybe that's the asterisk that he's going to come out and give this rousing endorsement of Donald Trump. If that doesn't happen, though, it means the team wasn't able to close the deal after a number of meetings with Donald. That's what it tells me. And
we know
all of this shows me is that not enough people, you know, seasoned campaigns. I've worked on these presidential campaigns, including one in this cycle, which is why I wasn't in the studio. And high-profile event, large event in Nashville, Tennessee, the candidate was speaking to about 10,000-plus people as all the television stations were there.
Right.
A misstatement was made. Our communications director immediately corrected it with the media. As the candidate was still on the stage,
right,
immediately corrected, knowing it was a misstatement, just a misstatement, words came out wrong.
But,
and it lasted 24-hour news cycle, moved on.
Yeah,
instead of going back, and that's the difference between professionals who have to deal with problems, there will be problems and misstatements and bad quotes.
Here's what the Trump people will say in response, though.
They don't say
that guy is not the Republican nominee for president of the United States. But now you're in where it counts.
But
because
he's past that nomination process.
And that's where they got to move to. It is past that
there
process.
There are times in the general election you will have
you
to say
calls.
No. You'll have to say, I'm sorry. I apologize. It was wrong. And they don't like doing that.
All right.
No, Don's calling from Riverside, California. You're on the air, Don.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, the American people's already said they need change. They can't run the country as it is. And Donald Trump is qualified just about all the way around with his running mate now. And it's just a matter of Paul Ryan getting in there.
Well, Paul Ryan did endorse, and I think we said this, Mike Pence tonight, Than, has a big job to do. Jordan said it. Mike Pence, it's got to be the unifier, and so does Ted Cruz, in a sense, for the Republicans here.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jay. You know, what's interesting to me here is Donald Trump won the nomination because of the disconnect between Washington, D.C. and the voters across the country. And I think what Logan is trying to point out here, last night, Jay, he essentially rolled out Washington, D.C. and said, listen, I have pretty much unified Washington, D.C., and yet the reaction we're seeing, that may not actually be a good thing for voters. So Mike Pence will try again tonight. Ted Cruz, we'll see what happens with him. But listen, I think that disconnect between Washington and the voters that got him the primary— maybe unifying D.C. isn't what voters are looking for.
It could well be. I mean, this is we're giving you kind of the expectation. Let's take another call.
All right, Peter in Sarasota.
Hey, Peter.
You're on the air.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you for the.
Thanks.
I just want to real quick, 30 seconds. I'm a father, 63 years old. I got 5 children, 2 in the military. And if I could tell you what's happening in the military, it'll shake you at the core.
I know that.
I'm a business owner. I tell you what, this is not about a speech. She admired Michelle Obama. Great. Let it drop. What I'm worried about is people who are not listening. Ben Carson made a statement. He said about using your brain. This is the end of America if Hillary and her ilk gets in. It's not about what we like and don't like. It is one or the other. There is no middle of the road.
Look, that's what political campaigns are about, and that is what conventions are about. But this convention is not historically the same. This has got a different spin. By the way, Peter, thank you for both of your son's service to our country.
It's the steps back you take. I don't know if the country's lost forever, but it certainly puts you on the back end. So you've got to. It makes it that much tougher for the next Republican president, whoever that is, if it's not Donald Trump, to come back and fight.
And we're going to, by the way, whether Republican or Democrats, we are going to be we're just giving it. If we think they've done something right, we're going to tell you they've done something right. If we think they've done something wrong and a policy we disagree with, we're going to do that. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the plank on abortion and these issues. Republican Party is got a very strong statement on life. We'll see what the Democrats have. I think you're going to be surprised with the Democrat statement on Israel, which is shocking considering the Bernie Sanders. It was a big fight.
Fought hard against the Sanders team on
that. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that next week. Very fascinating how that developed, where you had an inter-party fight within the Democratic side on Israel. So there you go.
Hey, we got a couple lines open. We got 4 minutes left. You want to call in? Call in real quickly. 1-800-684-3110. Let's get some voices on the air. John's calling from Long Island, New York today, representing some New York values. So Ted Cruz going on tonight.
Well, I like that.
John, you're on.
I'm a Long Island guy too, John, so welcome to the broadcast.
Absolutely. Proud of New York values.
Me too. Where in Long Island?
West Hampton Beach, Long Island. It's Clinton country, but this is going to be Donald Trump country.
I'm from Jericho, so there you go. Not too far away.
Okay, great. Wow, it's at the part of the Gold Coast. Listen, Rule 101 in any business organization or any large organization, and Donald Trump knows this, you've got to have an insulator.
Yeah.
And as good as this speechwriter probably was who collaborated with Melania, somebody's other eyes, who is an expert in rhetoric, had to vet this speech before it went forward, period.
I think part of
what happened is that Melania wants to be she's a woman in her own right, so taking ownership of that is not something that I'm surprised at.
Yeah.
But I think this is how you play it. I was telling you, the person on the line before.
Well, no, John, I think you said it right. I mean, And you got to move on. So that's part of it. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, there were three now in people involved. Two major Republican speechwriters who had nothing to do with the plagiarized part of the part that was copied. They delivered a draft and never heard back from the Trump team. And then this friend who's a Trump insider from the Trump company who's now taking the blame for this. And again, that means no one vetting. And that's a
gotta
key
stop.
Problem. Campaigns usually have so many different levels of vetting.
They need that.
That it's painful almost, but this is why.
All right, Jason, last call of the day from Ohio.
Then I'm going to give everybody a warning on something else in a minute here. Go ahead, Jason.
Jason, you there?
Evidently
all right,
not.
Just give him the warning.
All right. The United States of America versus the state of Texas. This is a petition for rehearing in the executive action case on immigration that we won. The Solicitor General of the United States has moved to rehear the case. This is significant, folks, and this is why you've got to watch very carefully what happens over the next several weeks and the next several months. And between the election and the swearing in of the new president, we are not able, no one is able to file a brief here, but we will be working with Texas on this. I will assure you we will be in touch with the Solicitor General's office from the state of Texas on this, but I am holding it in my hand. We won 4-4. It affirmed the Fifth Circuit. It said the immigration rewrite of the law could not stand. And the Obama administration, not just accepting it, wants to move on. The ones they like, they amazingly, when it's 4-4, they don't do that. But the ones they don't like, this is what they do. So, look, politics are politics. At the end of the day, we've got to deal with the law. And talking about dealing with the law, let me say this also. Our team in Kenya, and Jordan, really quick here, these lawyers are doing a great job. We've got less than 50 seconds here, but we've got to get them some security help.
Yeah, that's right, because they're facing extreme violence. And this has happened really since our engagement in Kenya as the East Africa Center for Law and Justice took to the stage working with pastors so that there was a legal representation for these evangelical churches across Kenya. It's violence. It's death that they're dealing with. And a lot of this comes from the Islamic terror world because they're right on the border with Ethiopia, and they've got the threats also from places like Al-Shabaab.
Yeah, so folks, here's what we need you to do. We're in a matching challenge campaign. You're getting an email from me today. Respond to it. If you don't get the email, just go to aclj.org right now. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. This is to help our office in Kenya with security and keep these lawyers fighting for freedom. aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ